We should know, we should be aware, and it is necessary for us to be aware, especially I'm addressing this gathering, and I will request and I will state that I will mention and I will request that this information we should definitely have, because this is our path and we are in seeking this conclusion that we can become the friends of Allah. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned the word friend, Wali Allah, the Awliya Allah. Alhamdulillah, this is a very beautiful intention and objective of life, and this is what the life's objective should be. So my brothers, the question arises that to attain this objective and to reach this destination, this manzil, which ibadah, action of worship, should be performed? Which ibadah, which act of worship will it be that is performed, due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the human being his friend, his wali, and announces in the heavens and in the earth across the universe that this man is my wali Allah, he is my friend. The world, whether they know it or not, whether they recognize this man or not, whether people understand or not, whether he knows or not, maybe he himself will not know that he is the wali Allah, but the announcement is made that this is my friend, I have made this person my friend. Subhanallah. So which ibadah, which act of worship allows or makes a person, such an ibadah makes a person close to Allah, that Allah immediately becomes pleased with that individual? Now there are many ibadah, the faraid we know, the compulsory actions, and I call these the ibadah, the acts with the stick. Yes, with the staff. If we don't, we will get punished. And what arrow bullseye have we hit if we are coming in the morning to pray Fajr that we are ghaus or kutub? Then we will get the beats. If we don't practice, we'll get punished. If we don't obey Allah, we'll get punished. But the ibadah that a person does to get close to Allah, that is different. And the importance of that we don't have in our lives. We don't pay attention to that. We don't even think about those ibadat. And there are such ibadat that for those actions, we don't need the Kaaba, Baytullah Sharif, we don't need the Masjid, we don't need any assistance of anything, we don't need wudu, we don't need ablution, we don't need a specific time frame, nor do we need a specific country that we need to be in, nothing, nothing. So Allah has made it very broad and expansive, this ibadah that gets Allah's nearness. Do you understand? And even if then we don't become the friends of Allah, then tell me how ajeeb and unfortunate this is. What is that ibadah? What is that? That the human being's akhlaqi husna, the human being's mode of conduct, is his code of conduct, his level of manners. When a person's akhlaqi razila, the bottom pit of akhlaq, ends, and he transforms that, heightens it to akhlaq husna. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, if it comes into a person, thumma alhamdulillah, immediately Allah Ta'ala announces that this person is my friend, is my wali. And our basis, understanding, oh look, this person's pious, he's a wali Allah. Why is he wali? Because he does these actions, he does that, he shows this. Whatever we think, we see, and we consider to be fantastic, he does. No. No, the glory of Allah and the status of the wali Allah, if you sit and keep company with the awliya Allah, then one thing unique you will see, observe, obviously you have to do ibadah, pray salah and do worship, but the unique thing you will see amongst the wali Allah is the akhlaqi husna, the great level of akhlaq and manners. And this is the difference between human beings, different human beings. But we don't pay attention to this. Oh, tell me wazifa, tell me a lesson, a recitation, a prayer, how many umrah shall I do, how many hajj? Brothers, ibadah is a great thing indeed. Yes, to worship is a great feat, no doubt, no doubt. But all ibadah, the faraid that Allah has given to us, in reality we've been given ibadah so we can make our akhlaq better, improve, so we can improve our akhlaq. Salah, within salah Allah has put the effect that after praying salah, then the person's akhlaq should improve and change for the better. If the change for the better hasn't occurred, then we are not praying salah correctly. And we say this, oh, I've seen many people praying salah, then they steal, they pray salah, they deceive others. We've heard people say this, isn't it? I've seen hajis doing hajj, and look what he does after doing hajj. He's come back from hajj. And what's the person paying attention towards? What are we focusing on? When we comment on a person's character, his ibadat, we blame. We are saying the right thing, and unconsciously, oh, you're doing this ibadah, and after that your akhlaq should improve, should be better, you should be a better human being. Allah has given us ibadah. That means my niyyah for doing ibadah is wrong. Yes, I'm just doing out of routine, sajda, bopping up and down. What's the effect on my life and character from this ibadah? How has my akhlaq been improved and made for the better? In the hadith there's an event, you would have heard this many times over, I'll repeat it again, share it again. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present, and it was requested that two women, their condition was shared and communicated. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a woman who is very occupied in ibadah, fasting, salah, nawafil actions, waking up at night, tahajjud, nawafil worship, but just a little thing lacking in her life, which is she hasn't got good links with a neighbor, she gets angry quickly, she loses her temper, and she lets off quickly. That's it. That's the thing lacking. But we think, oh, she's very great and elevated. And the other woman, she fulfills the fard, compulsory actions. She doesn't get up for tahajjud. She can't do nawafil actions, voluntary prayers. And she isn't able to perform extra acts of worship. But she looks after people a lot. She looks after her neighbors. She looks after other people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies straight away, the first woman is destined for hellfire, and the second is destined for paradise. Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So very clear message and direction and education. So let's not be deceived that this is the path. Just do dhikr, do remembrance of Allah, ibadah, nothing else. No. If the effects are not coming into our life, into our wujud, and our akhlaq is not being made, akhlaqi husna is not being demonstrated, if within us we don't have the internal character is not being improved, then until that time a person cannot be a wali Allah. It's total deception. Then look in the mirror, oh, I look nice, beautiful, I'm wearing namama, turban, I've got a long beard, I've applied ithar, fragrance, surma, colorium, white libas, wow, mashallah, pious, noor ala noor, light descending from the body. No, noor doesn't come from this, noor comes from the heart. Noor emanates from the heart. No one needs to tell you. No, you don't need to tell anyone, people will see that and testify. This is the big effect that needs to generate inside us. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala, there's a hadith narrated in Bayhaqi, and I'd like to present this in your service just as a lesson, again as a repeat summary, as a learning. It's an ajib, unique hadith in Bayhaqi, and let's listen to this. Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in this hadith that if an individual, any man, any human being has assisted a person who's in distress, listen carefully, if anyone helps a person who's got a sadness or a distress or an issue or a problem, and somebody comes to his aid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person, a human being, assists somebody who is in distress, who needs help, who's in sadness, then Allah ta'ala for that person 73 times over, Allah ta'ala writes maghfirah, forgiveness for the person. 73 records of maghfirah are recorded for the person. Tell me, how high class of reward is that? Allahu Akbar. Imagine, how much? 73 times over maghfirah will be recorded. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says further, that this is the reality, that one recording of maghfirah is enough for a human being to succeed in the hereafter. One recording, if once Allah ta'ala says, I've forgiven you, go, you're forgiven, that's enough for the person. But in this case, that one statement of forgiveness, but the 72 that are left then, what are they for? What will happen them on the day of judgment? Those 72 extra maghfirah records will elevate his status many times over. Oh, what an open playing field to do this ibadah. Any man, any human being who can do this ibadah of good, like someone's lazy, cannot do acts of worship extra, no problem. No problem. And further, what's being given? Extra addition. What an open playing field. Any man. So if there's anyone, the whole ma'ashara comes here, whole society, any religion, culture, person from any background, color, or creed, or language, whatever country that person from, this is Islam, subhanallah, international, universal religion. We call it no differentiation, no discrimination on anyone. No Muslim will hit somebody or kill somebody. No, reward has been given upon what? That a Muslim, if he sees another human being in distress, doesn't matter who is it from amongst the human beings in the world, he will come to the aid and assistance. Isn't this the teaching of Islam? Now we look on the other side of the coin, and it's so sad, people give the wrong definition to Islam and Muslims today. But we have the Quran and the Hadith, and this is the definition we've learned. Why don't people accept this definition? Against this, if somebody's acting against this in opposition to this, then obviously he's not in Islam. He's not practicing Islam. He's not demonstrating Islam. He's not accepting Islam. So why do they pull him out of the rubble and say that this person's a Muslim, he's doing wrong, this is Islam? This is injustice. To utilize the dirty examples, Islam calls out, announces that as far as it goes with regards to humanity, human beings, and fair equality in treating people, Allah has said 73 times over that person's forgiven, whether he's a non-Muslim, not a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whatever country, language, whether he's coming out of any place of worship, whatever his background is, even if he's against your deen, your religion, he has no link with you. But the hukum is this, that if you see that person's in trouble, and if you go to assist that person, then you'll become the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Isn't this a great religion of ours, a universal religion, worldwide religion, global religion, global reach, and such a big ibadah humankind has got? Me and you have got this opportunity. How Allah made it so easy? Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. Allah could give somebody money, somebody's become poor, somebody's rich or poor, somebody's high in status, somebody's low in status, somebody's got a house, somebody hasn't got a house, somebody's felt an earthquake or experienced a flood, somebody's got a lot of food and fruits and food, somebody's got no food, somebody's got doing a lot of ibadah, somebody's children are dying out of hunger or thirst, somebody who's got a lot of wealth, he's living in comfort, luxury. These are the hikmahs of Allah, the wisdom of Allah. And all of this balance and equilibrium that Allah has created in the universe is that one man, the poor soul, if he's poor, he hasn't got anything, and you've got the means that you can assist that poor person. In reality, Allah has given a field of ibadah. If you've got aql and wisdom, then that person who's poor can deliver you to paradise. Take you to paradise. That person who's poor can make you wander around in paradise if you assist him. For this reason, Allah has given da'wah, invitation, open invitation. When you see a human being in distress, in problems, issues, that need assistance, don't say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, why has he got problems and I am got problems? No. The hikmah is, Allah says, in the whole of society, Allah has given you ease, comfort. You see, if you see somebody who has problems, difficulties, then do this ibadah that eliminate that person's problems. What was Hajj? Tell me, Haji sahab, who have come back, ask them, what was Hajj? What was the objective of Hajj? The whole world, Allah Ta'ala gathered all the people of the world. There were ill people, people in problems, old people coughing, spluttering, ajib events occurring in Hajj on every rukun and every toss and turn. And if one human being gives another person da'wah, he's inviting others, please help me, I'm in trouble, I need your assistance. And this is an opportunity that there are rich people on Hajj, they have everything. But everyone's equal there on the days of Hajj, and people can be immersed in problems, whether they're rich or poor. Even a poor person can save a rich person from a problem, that I'll help you, I'll assist you physically. Physically. So this is a big, big ibadah Allah has given to us all. Practice that. Understand the needs of each other. Understand your needs and help and assist each other. This is ibadah. But we don't consider this ibadah worship. We concentrate more on tawaf. Even if you have to push others, punch them. I want to kiss the Hajar al-Aswad. Whether I have to hit other people and push them to get there. No. Big difference in the teaching. Allah has taught us the principles of Islam. Allah has given us ta'aleem from His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Hajj is this. That somebody's weak, if you're old, just go back. If you can't kiss the Hajj al-Aswad, no difference is there in your Hajj. Nothing will happen to you. If you're daif and weak, and if there's somebody else who's stronger and bigger, they're fine. You'll get hundreds of thousands moreover if you're not able. But no, tawbah, tawbah, Allah forgive, Allah forgive. We'll see their people tussling and hustling each other for zamzam water, and they'll jump over each other. Let me get this. We'll purchase the ticket, the airline ticket. There'll be so much rush. People will be pushing it to first. I need to get there at the front of the queue to purchase my airline ticket. And there's such disrespect, such a big ibadah, Hajj time, the place of ibadah, Allah's home, where Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is attained. Allah Ta'ala makes people His friends, where a lot of goodness occurs. They are all the guests of Allah, and we don't understand this ibadah. We don't understand it. So my brothers, akhlaq, conduct, manners, we need to improve. And this in reality is the greatest ibadah of the human being. The greatest ibadah. All of ibadah's result should come to the conclusion of akhlaq, good akhlaq. If I'm praying salah, and I pray a lot of salah, and my akhlaq is not good, then my salah is a waste. If I do a lot of ibadah actions of worship, but my face is disfigured and frowning, never a smile on my face, and I keep on frowning and sulking, and I don't talk about anything with anybody, I'm always worried about issues and complaining, and I don't assist the poor people. Okay, even if I assist a poor person, how do I assist a poor person? Or a person need 10,000 times I'll repeat him and remind him, I favored you, I did this for your children, I helped you this time. Do you remember? I'll tell you now, brothers, wallahi, this is the experience you will have also experienced, that in the dunya, I've experienced this fact, that there are some people, and dahiri ibadah, externally ibadah, they are weak, and they know this, but Allah Ta'ala has opened their hearts, and Allah has focused their hearts towards the makhluk, and for them they have a lot of mercy for the human beings, and they run towards assisting the makhluk, the human beings, and they help human beings in such a way, lillahi, for the sake of Allah. And they don't think about it twice, that I'm helping someone, I want to remind him and get the favor turned back to me. And this is a great death that those people experience, with a high maqam and level they die. Because those people are doing the greatest ibadah. Allah's given them money, alhamdulillah, wealth. So they worry about people, other people. Somebody's come aside and he's never left a person in need empty-handed. Somebody comes to ask, never did he leave him empty-handed. If somebody comes and asks you for help, will you desire that? And you desire, you want to help that person. Yes. And according to your capacity and state, it's not that you go to someone and he's got 10 pounds. You've only got 10 pounds and he asks you for 100. How can I give 100? You think you're wali Allah, I'm asking you for 100 and you're not giving to me. People did this. The Buddhas, the nomads, they did these actions with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So both sides of the coin are shown here. So you are forced to, you can't help. You say, sorry, I can't help you, I don't have it. But if you've got the capacity, you've got an amount, you can help. Not just for money. Sometimes there are conditions on a person's life. He's mentally disturbed, or he's overwhelmed with a physical issue. You can help him physically, or his household issues, family issues, home issues. So apart from throwing fire and oil onto the fire, try your best to help that person physically. Maybe if it's not monetarily, then physically, without any greed or a request for return favor or for fame, status to show off to people. Nobody should realize, I'm only doing this for Allah. Just like you do ibadah for Allah's sake, you do this action, you help somebody, you reach to him, to that person, and eliminate his problems, and then Allah will give rewards. 73 times over forgiveness. Tell me, is there any ibadah that you get this much thawab? 73 times over forgiveness? Recorded. So we need to emphasize on this. Hazrat Sahib, Rahimahullah, my great Sheikh, used to give me this nasiha many times over, advice that we need to focus on these actions. Don't fall into deception of ibadah, just worship. Allah gives opportunity for ibadah. But the asal, genuine article, is that if akhlaq-e razila is still inside our hearts and it's not eliminated and brought up to akhlaq-e hamida and akhlaq-e husna, then we are not on the right level to have sabr, patience, to persevere, bear burdens, and others. And don't just help friends. Rather, not just friends, but help those who are against you, in opposition to you, the enemies. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this, that I'm doing it for Allah. And if you realize that this person used to pester me, give me problems, hassle me, backbite against me, stab me in the back, and don't make this mistake, that if you hear he's in a problem now time, Allahu Akbar, then don't laugh and jeer and mock that he used to jeer against me, mock me. No, with love, present your services to that person. No problem, don't worry, I'll help you, I'm here to help you, despite the fact maybe that that person gave you issues. And you say, is it you? I've realized. But if you say, now I see you did this to me, now you've realized how bad it is when it happens to you, astaghfirullah. Never do that. Never seek revenge. Because a person should have pity on the person. Do dua for that person as much as you can. Do dua for that person. And you'll see this yourself, that from the maqam that you save that person from the difficulty, what a great assistance you'll give. A person's drowning, you save him from drowning, what a great help. Yes, a person's burning, you save him from burning, what a great help. Oh, may we be sacrificed on the awli Allah, the wali of Allah, who Allah Ta'ala made them his friends. Subhanallah. What did they save others from? They save people from Jahannam, the extreme fire, the worst fire. Can there be a bigger help than this? Allahu Akbar. Can there be? So what will be the maqam of those people, the makhluk of Allah, that the walis of Allah, they worry about saving people from the fire of Jahannam. They are the best friends. The best of friends from the whole of humanity. That there is the help of friends in the world, but this is the biggest help, to save somebody who's drowning or falling into the fire of Jahannam, and the wali Allah is extracting that person from the fire of Jahannam. with this ilm, with that knowledge that Allah has given to the waliullah, he's spending his wealth, his health, his time, he's trying, Allah, I need to take this person out of Jahannam onto the right path, and I need to save this person and his children from the hellfire. And if he saves one person from the fire of Jahannam, then he is given real, real help to a human being. That's the real help. There's help for people's stomachs, to fill their stomachs, their conditions, their problems in their life. But this is the greatest of, don't worry, don't shake and shudder that I'm helping someone, he is a big man, why should I help his children? Or he's a bad person, why should I help his friends or his children, his family? Never think like this, never think like this. Even if you can't do anything, remember one point. If somebody's got problems and you realize he's got problems, if you hear about the difficulties somebody's got, you see, look how Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi has given us beautiful lesson. This is sahih, authentic, and a great reward for this action. Great reward. One action every human being can do. Just like, for example, the news comes to me, that person's in distress. But how sad it is that, just like, for example, if my children have got problems, I should consider his children and their family like mine. And I should fear, I should have a worry that, oh, this is up to the person. Never think, oh, he was good before, he was well off. Oh, that's bad, that's something, he must be in distress and problems. So what help can I give to him? What assistance can I give? I'm telling you, ibadah, act of worship, listen carefully to what I'm saying. And if you say, okay, how can I help this person? I've got nothing to help, and you're distressed and happy, has that person got problems? Then here, the path for you is open. You have received the news that this person's got problems and difficulties and his problems are not being solved, and Allah's opened a big path here. Big path. Remember this. We all can do this. We all can do this. And the wali, if you do this, you'll become the wali of Allah. Will we do this? Inshallah. And then, obviously, we hear the news of people's condition, their problems, somebody's got divorced, somebody's wife, this has happened, or with their children. This is ma'ashara. Society, this continues. Laughing, joking, being happy in our hearts when we hear about the distress of people. Consider this, if you feel like this when you hear about people's problems, distresses, issues, difficulties, and we start enjoying it, we laugh over it, astaghfirullah, and we spread it to other people, then consider that person as a solid 100%, may Allah forgive, that person's in totally a bad position. Totally bad position. And if somebody is feeling upset, even if you're about your enemy, he's in a bad position, you feel upset and distressed. Oh, why did this happen to the person? So now you have to help that person in this condition, in this circumstance. Now, can you help? A person doesn't know you've helped, you don't go to him, you don't have the strength or ability. How can I take this person out of that problem? Then do one action. How can I help that person, assist that person? SubhanAllah, what should we do? Pray 2 rak'ah nafl, salatul hajat, and do dua to Allah. Allah, my maula, my brother, my sister, this time is in distress. Allah, give that person assistance, help, and take that problem away from them. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Guarantee is coming. Guarantee is coming. What's the guarantee? That when a Muslim, who ulama ikram, the respected scholars are here, ask them, when a Muslim, in the absence of another Muslim, he does dua for that Muslim, then Allah Ta'ala says, before that dua is accepted, he accepts the dua of that person who's made the dua. Subhanallah. So, if for example you've done dua for that person's home, for his son, for his children, his wife was like this, he's got problems, inshallah, when you do the dua from the depths of your heart for another person, then that difficulty will not get to that own, that same person. Allah gives a guarantee that inshallah, you made dua for the other person, then you will never get that difficulty yourself. So can we all do this? We've helped the other person, haven't we? And there's no greater assistance than this for another person. So this is akhlaqi ibadat, which is taught in the khanqas that the walis of Allah prescribe. These are ajib, sujood and rukus of these ibadat. What a great piece of news and learning we've received today. What an easy action that if we sit down and think, how can I assist him financially or in another way? I can't do it. But the news comes to you and the news being delivered to you, that he's got problems, then totally at that time, pray 2 rak'ah salatul hajj, and subhanAllah, you'll get the result. And at the hajj time, do dua for that person, that I'm doing tahajjud, dua for that person. Make niyyah, intention that that person is distressed. Allah, please, I'm making this dua for that person. And you're doing a massive action for that person. Great assistance you're doing for that person. Great assistance and favor on that person. Inshallah, inshallah. After some days you will hear that Allah Ta'ala has removed the difficulty of that person. Then don't go to the person, see, I did dua for you, I asked for you. And you'll start reminding that person of your favor. And he'll say, no, oh no, it's my dua that was accepted. I'm the wali Allah, my duas are accepted. I did this for you, I'm a wali Allah. Astaghfirullah. Reminding a person, foolish individual is that person. That woman's difficulty is due to her difficulties. Allah forgave you, think like this. Due to her difficulties, it's her favor upon you. that you are able to assist her. Allah gave you such a great reward that maybe that news wouldn't have come to you, that person had a problem, and maybe that wisdom wouldn't have come to your mind to help her. It's her kamal that she became the means for your maghfirah. Otherwise, you think you're high and a wali Allah, you don't know. Allah knows how high you are, and you are about to be beaten with the shoes. But Allah gave you an opportunity to assist somebody else. So this deception and fraud, shaitan puts in your mind, you're dhakir, you've got imam on your head, and your beard is looking nice, and you're helping other people. These are all deceitful actions of shaitan. Ibadah, the persons, and what's the ibadah we have to do? Say loudly, loudly. Akhlaq, assisting others and improving our batin, inner state. Then inshallah will wake as friends of Allah, whether a person calls you wali or not, whether the society calls you a thief, but Allah will call you a wali, his friend. Will we do this, my brothers? Inshallah. Okay. Recite Durood Sharif.